This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The temperature's dropped.
Yay.
I mean, when the temperature drops, I get happy.
It's finally getting to feel like fall.
It feels like fall. It's in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Now, when we go to pumpkin patches, we won't be burning up.
I remember times, I think, when I was much younger, back when it was all horse and buggy, when you would go to the pumpkin patch and you didn't have to worry about sweating like crazy. Now, it's just so hot.
I know. I mean, times have changed.
Yeah.
That reminds me. I saw this on QVC. You know, when you're trying to clean out a pumpkin, you know how hard it is.
Oh, yeah.
They had a mixer, and this girl is with KitchenAid, and she showed how you take the mixer, go all inside the pumpkin, and get all that out. And then she said, now, a lot of you wonder, how do you cook your seeds when you've got all that mess hanging from it, right?
Yeah.
And she said, you put it in a jar with water in it. Then you take your mixer and stir it, and all that mush stuff will come up on your mixer, and it leaves the seeds in the jar.
Really?
How about that? It was easy peasy. I mean, who would have thought of that?
So it's just,
there's always something new.
I know it. People are very creative, and they have all kinds of ways of doing things. So you just take the hand mixer inside the pumpkin just to kind of...
Inside the pumpkin.
Really?
And go round and round and round, and you get and everything will cling to the mixer, in other words. And then you go over there, and you have this jar, and you've got it half full of water, and you put your mixer down and release it, and then when you start stirring it with a mixer, all that pulp will come up on the mixer, and you take it out and throw it away.
Wow.
And it leaves your seeds in the water.
And she actually did it, and you saw it, and it worked?
I saw the whole thing. Watched it. Then she dipped out the seeds and put them in the oven and browned them.
Oh, wow.
It was so easy. I mean, she said everybody hates, you know, the pulp and the seeds are together, and everybody goes, I might as well just throw it away. It's too hard.
Yeah.
But instead, you put the whole thing in the water, start the mixer, and all this mush will come up on your mixer and cling to it, and you put it in the sink. It's smart.
Wow. That was genius.
It was genius. And that leaves the seeds in the water. You dip them out, and you're through.
Boy, I'm going to have to try that, because that is really annoying. You pull all the guts out, and everything's just mushed all together, and you can't separate anything, and you spend hours.
That's right.
Ugh.
No, you dip it in this water, and then turn it on, and it takes all the mush up on the beaters, and then you just throw it away.
Wow.
I watched it in living color, and I said, man, I've learned something today.
Good Lord. And that was on TV?
Yeah, it was on QVC.
Wow.
This girl was with KitchenAid, and she's a four-time winner of all these cookbook awards. And she had so many tips. She knew how to do so many things. But that was one of the best tips I've seen, because nobody can ever get the seeds and the mush apart. And you just put it in the water, turn on the mixer, and it comes up to the mixer, and you put it in the sink. Your seeds are still there. And you dip them out, and you're through.
Wow. Well, I'm going to try that then this year. That sounds much easier. I always dread pumpkin time just because of all that mess. Wow.
I know. Nobody wants to deal with it.
Mm-mm.
And first you do the pumpkin and the mixer in the pumpkin, get it all out, and then you dip it in the water. I mean, it's easy.
Wow.
This woman knew how to do so many things that we would say, let's just throw it away.
Yeah.
I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, this is too hard. We can't get the seeds out of that.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It is very annoying. But you put them in the water, the mush and the seeds all together, and then start running the little mixer. It pulls all the mush up onto the mixer, and you're home free.
Boy, oh boy. People are so creative. They have so many tips and shortcuts and hints and solving problems that people didn't even know that they had and things like. I see all kinds of stuff like that, like on Instagram and TikTok. People show you, you know, how to, you know, clean like a hairbrush, or they'll show you. I saw like some pumpkin decorating things. They were showing like how to decorate for like Halloween, and they have columns by their front porch. And so what they did is they took some plastic pumpkins, drilled a hole in the back of it, like kind of like on the sides, but in the back they drilled two holes, and they strung lights through the holes, wrapped them around the poles, and they did like, I don't know, like 5 or 10 pumpkins all the way up and then all the way down the other side, and then turned on the lights. It was fantastic. I'm like, wow, who would have ever thought about that? It's just
wow.
So creative with the way the stuff that people do and they know, and it's really neat.
Yeah, people that are creative can do so many things that you wouldn't imagine. And they can do it in the home. They've got drills. They've got all these other things, and they don't have to go buy it. And it means a lot more if you're able to accomplish it.
Yeah.
Yourself, you know,
yes.
Rather than having to go to the store and buy all this stuff.
I know.
I drove by a house yesterday. They had spent thousands and thousands on Halloween decorations. I'll bet they had $5,000 in the front yard.
Good Lord.
I've never seen one like that. You know, I mean, it wasn't at a commercial deal. It was just in a neighborhood. And it was spectacular.
Wow.
Every inch was covered. I mean, they had so many things, I can't even name them.
Wow. They did like Christmas lights, but at Halloween, intense.
Yes, they did. Wow. Now, when they turn those lights on at night, it's going to be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine their budget is shot, but anyway, they had a lot of fun doing it.
Wow.
I don't imagine there's any money left in the house. I mean, it looked like they had spent, I'm serious, maybe $5,000.
Jeez. Did they have like giant, like blow up, like Frankensteins or ghosts or...
Yes, they had, so many things I couldn't even name them all.
Wow.
They had skeletons out in the front. I mean, there was every kind of thing you can imagine that's scary. You know?
Wow. Man.
And maybe they're going to get yard of the month. I don't know what they're getting. It ought to be spectacular.
Well, geez.
It was spectacular.
If that trend continues.
I've never seen a Halloween deal that good.
I know it. Maybe that's like the new thing. Maybe that's like a couple months before we go look at Christmas lights, we drive around. Maybe we'll start driving around looking at like Halloween lights in displays. That would be cool.
I mean, nobody would ever think of that. But I don't. It's the first one I've ever seen. And I don't know if there'll be more in that neighborhood. I just don't know.
Wow.
But it's my first one to see something that magnificent.
It sounds really cool.
It was pretty dadgum magnificent.
Wow. I bet that was awesome. I'd like to see more of that. Maybe that's the new thing, and we'll get there in a couple of years.
Maybe that's the new thing. You know, the way it is now in everybody's house, you know, they have summer flowers out on the tables everywhere. Then we go into fall. We have, the hay deals. We have all the little children that are dressed, you know, that you put by the fireplaces, all this. Then you take those down. Then you go into Christmas. Then you go into Easter. I mean, you have to have some of everything in life in order to do all this.
And it seems like holidays are coming earlier and earlier. Like I was already seeing Halloween candy in August. And so now.
I know that was scary because I figured it's going to be old.
I know
it. Oh, I wouldn't want to eat the ones that were out that early.
It's probably last year's leftovers.
Oh my gosh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Wow. Christmas starts before Halloween. This is like, and then, you know, before you even get to New Year's, then you got, Valentine's Day. That already comes out in December. It's like, oh my goodness, we're just pushing these holidays earlier and earlier.
What would retailers do without us?
I don't know.
I mean, my gosh, they're selling us something every few months that you just have to have.
Yeah, maybe it's just they count on the fact that we have small attention spans and we need something new and shiny and exciting and fun.
That may be it. Our attention span is so short that we have to have a lot of holidays, just to keep us entertained.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, now by the time we get to, like, fall and Halloween, it's been a couple of months since we've actually had, like, a big blowout celebration. Like, what was it? It's July 4th, and then you got the rest of July, and then August, and then September. And so I guess by the time you get to, like, October-ish, people have been 3 or 4 months without a major holiday celebration. And so we're ready. We're ready to go.
And remember, everybody has to hire somebody for their lights.
Oh.
If you're not using the same one every year or any of them quit, you've got to find new light companies that are going to come and do all your lights.
Yes.
And it's a big deal. You've got to start 1st of October if you're going to get your lights hung, because they're through by the end of October. They've got it all booked.
Oh, yeah.
And they start, as you know, in October hanging lights.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're booked so solid, they can't wait till November to do lights.
Mm-mm. They're practically done.
They have to have it booked before then.
Yeah. So,
and this is a big moneymaker for a lot of people, folks.
It is. I think we did the math last year, and I forget what it came out to, but it's like those that have like a crew that'll like jump in and do a house in what, an hour or hour and a half, 2 hours. We figured, I don't know what it was, like six a day and whatever the rate was and something like that. It was like hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit. It was crazy.
It was. And a lot of people, they make enough for almost the whole year just in this one setting. I mean, it is that big.
They work during the holidays and take the rest of the year off.
That's right. And then if your electrical isn't all correct, then you've got the electrician out here also trying to get the lights to work to keep them going.
Yeah.
So, you know, every year you have to make sure your lights, that you don't have any shortages, because you'll be calling the lighting company otherwise.
Unless they make you rent them. That's the new thing, right? Is to make
it
you rent
is.
Them.
That's the new thing. Is they tell you, we will bring the lights, we will keep them for you, and bring them back out every year. And, of course, they want you to use LED lights.
Oh, yeah.
No regular lights anymore. Must be LED or they won't hang your lights, by the way.
Yeah, really? Really?
No, they don't want to hang them if it's not LED.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that they would refuse to actually do them. Oh, that's...
Yeah, some of them will say, well, we don't do anything but LED lights.
Wow. I mean, I know they save on, you know, electricity and whatever else, but boy, those old school lights, those big bulbs that we used to get...
I know, they're wonderful.
They are. Oh, wow, I miss those.
But, you know, somebody's in charge of our lights, our gas... I mean, you know,
I know it.
There's restrictions on everything in life.
I know it.
You know, I want to go back to the good old days when you could just go to the store and buy what you want. And if you wanted a gas stove, you could get a gas stove. You know.
Yeah.
Or you wanted a certain kind of air conditioner. It didn't have to be measured. It was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. You just go buy something. You didn't have to do all this research and do all these, you know, specifications and requirements and all that. I tell you, if you can invent a time machine and we can go back, you'll be a very, very wealthy person.
That would be very, very nice.
It would.
I think it might be worth it because, you know, I can remember when times... you didn't even hear about crime. Can you remember that far back?
Yes.
You never heard about it. Neighborhoods were safe. Our children could ride their bicycles anywhere, day or night. The kids went out and played till dark.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything wrong with it. And nowadays, we have to know where our children are every minute because there's so much danger lurking. And now, you know, the crime has hit all the northern cities. Because, you know, they got rid of the police, and now they can't get control.
I know it.
I mean, the criminals are controlling everything. And I'm thankful it's not that way in Texas, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of scary.
It is. I mean, back, way back when, before, like, stranger danger and all that, you know, you just kind of, like, went out and played with your friends, and your parents would tell you, go outside and don't come back until dark. And you didn't.
That's right. They didn't want to see you.
Yeah.
And they didn't worry about you. They knew you were safe. You were playing with your friends, and there wasn't really anything out there you could get hurt on.
Yeah.
And nowadays, everything's a danger. You
yeah.
know?
The worst part you had to worry about is falling out of a tree, breaking an arm or something.
That's right. Or falling off your bike and breaking a leg or something.
Yeah,
and that happened.
Yeah, it did.
I mean,
if it didn't, you weren't playing right.
That's right. And everybody walked, you know, my children growing up, you know, walked half a mile to school.
Yeah.
And all the other kids would join them. They just walk right down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Jeez.
And now that would not be a safe option.
Oh, no. Now you've got to have a cell phone, some kind of a protection device of some kind, and you've really got to be aware of your surroundings, and you can't just go for a casual stroll anymore. You can't walk to school like that. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, times have really changed. I mean, I don't know what the world's coming to, but... I'm hoping it's going to get better.
I hope so, too. Goodness gracious. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Boy, within about 15 minutes, we took a stroll down memory lane. We created a time machine for the future, and we painted a picture of doom and gloom for crime. It's been a very productive day so far.
Oh, yeah, we're very productive. Well, let's talk about making money for the client.
Yeah, let's
they
do
might
that.
Appreciate that. As you know, we do life settlements. We don't do elderly people. You know, the cutoff for a life settlement that we're going to buy is 74. You know, we've already had it with that other. We learned the hard way. God loves the old people, but they're not going to die, in case anybody doesn't know it. They're going to live past you and I. They're going to live in their 90s. So when we do business, we try to buy policies from people that are 40 years old to 74. So it's a long stretch there. And when we buy policies, we're buying life insurance policies from people that have terminal cancer. You must have terminal cancer. If you've got grade 2 or grade 3, we're probably not even going to look at your policy. But we will buy your policy. We buy them every day from people that come to us and say, I need the money for treatment, or I need to get my estate settled because I am ill and I want to be sure who's going to get the money. And so we look at the policy. If it shows they're in treatment, if they're on radiation, if they're doing chemo, be doing both, how long have they had the cancer, and what is the prognosis? Does it say they've got 2 years, 2.5 years to live? If they do, we're interested. We read the doctor reports. It'll tell how many times they've been in and out of the hospital. It'll tell us what drugs are on, if it's spread, if it's metastasized in other places. Lots of times we'll get a cancer case, and we start reading, and it says it's in vertebrae here, this vertebrae, that vertebrae. If it's in 2 or 3 vertebrae, it's already spread pretty good. Sometimes it'll say it's in the ovaries. Well, ovarian cancer is just deadly. I mean, really deadly. So it may have started in the lungs or the stomach. If it's progressed, and they say this person's got 17 months, 12 months, we're going to be trying to buy it. And remember, we're bidding against other companies. There's a group that bids on every policy that comes by. And they're all big companies. We've got like $17 million to bid with.
Good Lord.
So we can bid with the big boys. So we're going to bid on this policy. If we get it, we'll put it out to our clients and say, we'd like for you to put $50,000 in this or $100,000. We tell them how many months it is. We tell them what the premium is. We try to keep the premium under 2%. Every once in a while, if it's a higher premium, we're going to escrow like for 54 months.
Jeez.
I mean, beyond the pale. There's we do not want anyone to get caught up in a premium problem.
You've had some that have been like even like below 1%, haven't there?
Recently? Oh, we've done a bunch this year
that
were 0.25, 0.50, you know, a quarter of a percent, a half a percent. We've done a lot of them that, I mean, the premium be $34 a quarter. So we have this year done a lot of them. But anyway, when we buy them, we put them out. The people go in them. We go to escrow. Then we send a check and wire it to the owners. And then we get a change of beneficiary. We notify the carrier that this person has changed beneficiary. If they've got an ex-wife, we get a sign-off from that. Whoever their beneficiaries are now, we change that. We make them sign off on it, and then we're ready to go. So it doesn't take a long time. It's going to take at least a couple of weeks after we go to escrow before we close on it.
It's really not bad, though. That's a
pretty quick
process.
All of it has to close at Nevada Trust. They are the trustees for us on every policy. So they make sure the premiums go out every quarter. When the people die, they are the ones that get the death certificate and get it to the carrier. And then that money goes direct in their accounts. We never touch their money. We never have. So you have to have an account to do business with us at Nevada Trust. It can be an IRA account. It can be a Roth. It can be a joint policy with your wife. But it has to be a Nevada Trust.
How long?
We operate from there.
How long, for like a new investor that wanted to come over and start getting into life settlements, how long would it take somebody on average to maybe, say, get set up, you know, create accounts, do whatever needs to be done? How long does that usually take?
A couple of weeks, usually.
All right.
It takes a couple of weeks to get their account done. If we're transferring money from a brokerage account, you know, that takes 10 days. But now if they bring a check, it's fast. You know, if they bring $100,000 or $1 million check over, it's pretty quick.
Okay. And really, I would guess probably the next question that new investors would ask would be, how fast can I get into a policy? And that, I guess that just kind of really just depends on what's available at the time.
What we have closing.
Yeah.
We may have something in escrow closing. We may have something like this week. Everything's out for bids. We bid a lot of policies. We won't know till Monday morning which ones we got.
Okay.
And then we will start putting people in them. But first of all, we've got to close on them. We've got to be sure we got the bids. And, you know, it's a bidding war sometimes. And especially this time of year. So we're bidding against two or three other people. They want the policies for their clients, and we want them. The profit is 1% or more, usually more per month. And lots of times I don't tell people that it's really a lot more than 1% a month, because usually if it's like a 17-month policy, we're going to pay 22. Lots of times if they say 27, we may be going to pay 34. So we always pay a little bit more than what the life expectancy is.
So really, when you're giving people, like, because it's a very well-informed investment. People know what they're going to make. They know kind of roughly, basically, when the policy will mature. The interesting thing, though, is that when you're telling them that profit and they're looking at how much they are probably going to make, that would be like a bare minimum, I guess. It would go up there, but never down.
So if it's a 17-month policy, they're going to make probably a lot more than 17. Every once in a while, that's all there is like, you know, if it's 17, you get 17. But most of it is like a 24-month and you get 34 or 30. It's usually 4 or 5 points more than what the life expectancy is.
So the profit that they actually get might be more, but the cool thing is that if it comes in early, if the policy matures early, the profit does not go down. It stays.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Let's say it was 24% on the policy. You're going to get 24% whether it's early, whether it's late, or whether it's on time. Profit is always guaranteed. So it's not like a turkey shoot, as I would say. It's not like one of those speculations. You know what you're going to make going in. You know what your expense factor is. You know everything about the policy. You know what kind of cancer it is, how many months it is. If it goes over, you know what you'll have to pay. We lay it all out. We don't want any surprises. So it's just not like the stock market that today it's up and tomorrow it's down.
Yeah.
And some days you make money and some days you lose a lot. And sometimes the losses go on for a while. So if you want anything conservative, that you know what you're going to make, a life settlement, it would be a good investment.
And with a life settlement, you don't have to worry about anything. Like you say, it never goes up, it never goes down. You don't have to worry about those things. But nothing affects it. Like the stock market, very volatile. Anything can affect the stock market. You could be, you know, riding high one day, and all of a sudden, you know, something happens overseas, something completely random in the world, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out, and you've got nothing. It's completely unpredictable. It's as I guess predictable as the wind. With a life settlement, you don't have any of that. So if anything happens overseas, if global war breaks out, if there's, you know, something happening, you know, in China's market, it doesn't affect a life settlement. Nothing ever affects it. It's in its own little bubble, I guess. So it's protected.
That's right. You know, whatever it starts out, that's what it's going to be. And, you know, we're doing a lot better job than we were 5 years ago, even. We're getting better LEs. They're more accurate. They're coming in within three or four months of what the LE is. We've had a lot of early ones. You know, we did a study on how many came in early, how many were late. Over the period of time we've been in business, we've paid out $200 million
wow.
back to clients.
Whoa.
That's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, it is.
$200 million has went back to clients.
Jeez.
I don't think you can say that in the stock market.
No. Let that sink in for a minute. $200 million. Wow. Yeah, most people.
$200 million.
Oh, wow. And they can't say that in the stock market. So life settlements are a very great way for people to make money in a conservative way. What about profit? Aggressiveness. This is more of an aggressive type of investment, right? As far as larger returns, a little bit more engagement than, you know, say even like annuities. Like annuities, you set it and forget it. But this, you kind
of. It's more aggressive. And if you're already retired, it's probably not what you want to do if you're in your 70s. Most people do this before they get that age. If they're in their 70s, they're going to go to annuities usually. Because they'll call me and say, we're retiring now, Faye. I think we need to be in annuities. They don't want the speculation of what time it'll come in, you know. But maybe they've been doing it for years. They've been very happy. But now they want to put part of their money in annuities. That's the way we've been doing it.
Is there a difference when you compare the two between, like, return on investment between a life settlement and an annuity? Or are they just not, are they like apples and oranges and we can't really compare them?
Well, they're different. An annuity is set and forget. You're going to get paid no matter what happens. You can take money out every year. It's an income producing. It not only accumulates wealth, but most people take money out of it every year. They retired. They're using it as a retirement vehicle. They get a check every year, or they get it monthly the rest of their life. And then some people that buy annuities do not intend to take any money out for 5 or 10 years, depending on their age. And so some of them are using it as a retirement vehicle for the future. I've had several people that are with big oil companies. They've been taking money out of that 401k and putting it with us for later, because they said their 401k is shrinking. It's going down instead of up. So anybody that's going to retire in the next 4 or 5 years, an annuity is an essential thing. because you know it's guaranteed. You know, the interest rates are set at the end of every year. You get your interest. It's tax deferred until you start taking it out. And it's compound interest. You can't beat all that. An annuity is one of the safest vehicles on earth. A life settlement is a little more speculative because you have to wait till they pass away each time to get paid. But you make more with a life settlement than you do annuities. But it's a different vehicle. You know, you're buying a life insurance policy on someone that's terminally ill, but you don't know the exact date that they're going to pass away. But they need the cash. This is why they're selling at a huge discount on their policy. You know, these people advertise all the time, you're tired of your life policy, we'll just buy it. They're not giving them very much. If they're not even sick, they're probably getting 20% of the face value. But if you're sick, there's a bidding war going on, you're going to get a lot more.
Is there, speaking of bidding war, is there, because at one point several years ago, it used to be, or I think there used to be like the first quarter, a lot of the big companies would do their aggressive bidding like January, February, March, and then kind of like, I guess, blow their whole budget and then kind of like back off for like the rest of the year. Is that, well, first of all, was that even the case then? Am I painting the right picture? And then two, if it is it still the same now, or has the landscape kind of changed?
Well, it wasn't as bad this year. We did a lot of policies that first quarter. Usually we don't. Now, right now, we're having to really fight for policies. Next week, it may just turn over. We may get 20 policies in to look at. You know, usually, I know August, July and August were very good months. We had lots of policies come. We had a lot of choices. This month, we haven't had a lot of choices. It's been very slim. Not a lot of policies are coming our way. So I figure that here in October, it's going to get really busy. There'll be a lot of policies come in for us to bid on. A lot of people needing to sell their policies. It runs in spurts. You never know why. But when people are sick, we had this one lady that we bought her policy 3 weeks ago. Within a week, we weren't even ready. We had the money in escrow. We weren't ready to send her everything, her money yet, because all the papers weren't in. And they contacted us, said she's very, very ill. Can we go ahead and take some of the money out of escrow and give her? Ooh. We did, and because she was desperate. I think we gave her $40,000, and now they're saying she's got to have the rest of it. So this lady is on the edge. She wasn't wealthy, obviously, and she was selling us her policy to get money for treatment. And sometimes this happens. Like we had the guy that we put everything in escrow, we're closing. We get notice they died.
Oh.
Yeah, so we had to give everybody's money back, put it back in their accounts, and start over.
Hmm.
He waited too late to sell his policy.
And sometimes.
And, you know, if it's 6 months or less, they might as well keep it because we don't even know if they'll live long enough to close.
Yeah, it does get kind of close sometimes. There was, at one point, several months ago, or maybe it was living last year, I'm terrible with timelines, but it seemed like at one point people were playing this game where they were like maybe like bidding bids against each other and kind of like playing the you know, who can I get more from, and they were is that still going on, or did that phase kind of...
Oh, yeah, that... and they'll agree to something and then change their mind.
Really?
They'll agree for us to buy it, and then they may change their mind at the last minute and say, I'm not going to close. And they can do that. I mean, you know, look at Mr. Chang. You know, it took us, what, 6 months to get his business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we knew he was dying. He wanted to go to Italy first before he would sign the papers. He did that. He came back. He had a $5 million policy and a smaller one. We did not get the $5 million. We ended up getting a $2 million one. And it took months to get that done. So the people are a little wishy-washy. They may start with us. They may say, send us the documents. We're going to close with you. And we get the documents out there, and they do not sign them. And 6 months later, we'll hear from them. They'll say, will you buy my policy? And most of the time, I say no. I say, you know, you had one shot at us, and we couldn't trust you, and I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. You kind of know what you might be getting into based on what they've already done. You just want to avoid the drama altogether.
Yeah, I want to avoid that person because, first of all, they're not truthful.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that they were sick, but they got to thinking they could get a lot more money. And we pay more than anybody I know in the industry. And we always give good bids to them. We're always ready with the money to pay them. And I can't imagine the way people act.
Yeah. But once it's already locked in, I know the bidding process can be a little wishy-washy, you know, like that. But once it's locked in, it's done, it's signed, it's over with, then it is what it is. And that won't change from there, right?
That's right.
All right. It's just, I mean, you handle the bidding stuff. Investors don't even have to really even worry about it or think about it. You do all that ahead of time. So once they get
that's
the policy.
Right. We have all that worked out before they get to the policy. All we're asking is, here is a cancer policy. It's 27 months. Do you want to go in it? It's breast cancer. You know breast cancer. You know, what do you think?
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the kinds of policies we do, we've done them over and over. We bid one this week that's a tonsil cancer. I've not ever done tonsil cancer. We've done carotid artery, you know, cancer. We've done throat cancer, and those just do not last. Every throat cancer we've done, they passed away real quick.
Wow.
I do not believe they can do as much treatment when it's on your throat. I just don't. And they have died. This one, I don't know, but I think it's a good policy, and I hope we get it.
And you should, what, find out this coming week?
This coming week, we have several. We'll know if we got the bids. We'll know what the situation is, and we'll be putting those out to the customers as soon as we know.
Cool. And I guess while you're there, real quick, when a policy... For new investors who are trying to figure out how the process works, we kind of went behind the scenes a little bit. We kind of know what happens before, you know, during the bidding process and all that. But once you actually secure a policy, so say next week you get one of these policies, what happens? Do you send them a note that says we have a new policy?
Yes, we send everybody an email. And for those that forget to read their emails, then we text them and say, look at your email. We've sent you a case. We want to know if you want it. Now, this last one we did, unfortunately, we had some people that were on vacation. They didn't see the email. They don't do emails while they're gone. And then when they got back, they said, yes, yes, put me in. It was too late. I had two or three that did not get in that policy.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. People don't read their emails lots of times. When we have the time, we'll go ahead and reach out. And send them a text and say, go look at your email, you know, see if you want to do this. But we don't mean to leave anybody out. It's just sometimes it happens.
That's nice, though, to go above and beyond and say, hey, you have an email, go check it. That's kind of cool.
Well, we do because in West Texas, people are busy. They're working. They're making a living. They're just busy people. And a lot of people don't read their emails but every two or three days.
Oh, my word.
Not like you and me. We have to read them every minute to keep up, you know?
Yeah, I know it.
I'm
going back between 3 and 4 different business emails and reading things at, like, you know, 7 in the morning all the way to 10 o'clock at night and sometimes at 3 in the morning. Yeah, email is part of, like, what we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I mean, with me, too. You know, I'm on it all the time and don't want to miss something from a client or a business I'm trying to do business with. So, you know, we have to stay on them. But remember, these people aren't doing this like we are, so they don't read their emails. They ignore them.
Yeah.
And so then we have to get a hold of them, tell them, please read your email. Then they'll say, okay, we'll read it and get back to you.
That is very nice,
though.
Then
that takes another day.
Yeah. But that is going above and beyond. That's cool. I think people appreciate
that. Well, we should do that for the clients.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And remember, we've been a member of the Better Business Bureau for over 20 years. We have an A-plus rating, if that's important.
That's a really big deal. That is very important.
I know. We forget to ever tell anybody that we have an A-plus rating.
And
wow.
I know. That's like one of the biggest accreditation honors that you could possibly have, and we don't even mention it. So
I know it.
Good to
and
know.
The Better Business Bureau is always writing me notes. Do you have your logos on it? Do you have your Better Business Bureau logos? Do you use this? Do you tell people? I mean, they're always saying that to me.
I'm sure they probably have you on speed dial.
They probably do, because we don't ever respond. And when you don't respond, I keep going.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It's quite a good story. It's about the Peter brothers in Fort Worth, Texas. They came here as Greek immigrants, came to Texas. I don't know how much English they even spoke when they came here. They started in the hat business, 1911.
Wow.
Do you believe that? 1911. And these two brothers actually started with a shoeshine parlor, but they knew they wanted to do hats. So then they started hat renovations. And in 1933, they became a full-fledged hat company, custom hats. The Peters brothers have passed this down 5 generations now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And the latest one is Brad Peters. He's a 5th generation. He took over in 2013 when his grandfather passed away. But he's no stranger to the hat business. He grew up around the shop, and he learned from his father and his grandfather. And it's still labor-intensive. They still do it the same old way, even though we're in a modern world. They're trying to preserve the legacy of the Peter Brother hats. He said, you have to consider, everybody thinks it's a dying art. But it's not with them. They make custom hats every day of the world. And these are high quality, handcrafted. And they do Western hats. They do dress hats. They do bucket hats and flat caps. And they're made from beaver, rabbit, and hair fur.
Wow.
And a custom hat runs about $450. That's for rabbit. You can do a beaver hat. You can do a blend. You can do a 50-50. I know when my husband was alive, he had a beaver hat, and it was gorgeous.
I bet.
And I love Western hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a high-quality product. Did you know every president from Calvin Coolidge all the way through Jimmy Carter has received a Peters Brothers hat?
Really? That's cool.
Yes. And the shop has been visited by a lot of celebrities. A lot of Hollywood dignitaries come here. But Amon Carter Sr., publisher of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, is who made him famous.
Really?
When people would come, dignitaries, celebrities would come to Fort Worth, he would give them a Peters Brothers hat.
Wow.
And the one he always gave them was called the Shady Oak. And it's the top seller for him.
Really?
So when you come to Fort Worth, if you come to the stock show, the rodeo, remember, you can get a custom hat from Peters Brothers with 110 years of experience.
And they're affordable. I kind of, when you said like $450, I thought, nah, this is going to be more than that. And then you threw that out, though. Oh,
no.
Kind of impressive.
$450 to $550, you can get a custom Western hat. Either beaver, a blend, all the ones they make. And everybody should have a good custom hat. I know there's some hat companies in Fort Worth, but for a Western hat, this is the place to get it.
Mm. You know, nothing against manufacturing at all. I mean, it has its place. It's fantastic. But to still be doing these by hand, it's just, cool.
110 years later, folks.
Yeah.
They pay attention to detail. It takes a year to get your hat, by the way.
Oh, wow.
I told you that. If you want a custom hat, it's going to take a year for them to make it custom made, but it's going to be worth it.
So you won't, if you try to get one for Christmas, it's not happening this year, but Christmas next year, you'll be fine if you put your order
in
now.
That's right, because it's a custom hat company. They make it. No telling how many hats a day start them, and then it takes a while because they're doing it the old-fashioned way. It's not done on a machine. Just, next week you have your hat.
Yeah. That's cool. You don't see a lot
of that.
And they
said it's labor-intensive, and I imagine it is.
Yeah.
Because we're in a modern world, and they're not doing it the modern way. They're doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. And the craftsmanship that goes into, you know, anything that's done by hand as opposed to a machine.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, far superior.
And this is the fifth generation that's learned how to do custom hats and still making good custom hats. And I imagine anybody that's ever bought one has come back many, many times to get a hat.
Yeah.
And I know ranchers, business people, they're going to want a custom hat. They don't want something off the shelf.
Mm-mm. No, you know, they really do make really great gifts too, you know, and to have it, you know, custom made, there's something about having something that's made just for you, even if it might resemble something else. It's not exactly this, like something that comes off a conveyor belt or a factory or something like that. You may have, you know, 5 or 10,000 of exactly the same thing, but even when something is done by hand, even though it may look similar to another one, it's not. It's done by hand, which means that it's unique, it's special, it's different. Time and attention was paid to it. There was an actual person with eyes on it and hands on it, and they were actually like creating it by hand. That makes a big difference. It makes it something special and unique. It's cool.
And the other thing is they put your name inside your hat.
Neat.
How about that?
Yeah.
And if you go somewhere important to a party or somewhere and people are snatching hats, you know that your hat is the one with the name in it. That's really special.
Yeah.
To have your own hat with your own name in it.
And they do it the nice way, not the way like when you were in summer camp when you put your name on your socks.
No, this is on the inside, and it's a very neat thing to have your name inside your hat.
That is really cool. And they've been around for, 112?
10 years. 110 years.
Wow.
They were Greeks. They came over here by ship and landed in Fort Worth, Texas.
Ooh.
You know, a lot of stuff happened in Fort Worth. You know, we've done the story of Mrs. Baird's. We've done the story on so many people that came to Fort Worth. We did the department store that came in the 1800s to Fort Worth. So even though it's called Cowtown, it's a smaller town. It's not as big as Dallas. A lot of really great companies came to Fort Worth, and they're still there. That's what I'm impressed about.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, there's a little section of us that has, how do I say this the nice way? It's about quality and doing business a good, honest way that makes, you know, companies like this, you know, stick around. And the fact that they're, you know, right here, it makes really kind of it makes sense to me as opposed to.
It makes sense to me that it's laid back enough that it's not all, factory made and. Some high-class deal is still done the old way. And, Fort Worth has got an old section that I love, still got the old buildings, all this. Even though they built three new hotels, really high-class hotels, you've still got the stockyards, you've got the rodeo. The cows, lots of times, still come down the main street there.
Yeah.
You know, they have a little... a parade, and the cows just come down the road with the cowboys, then they put them back up,
yeah.
But it's not a It's not like New York City.
No, no. It's a special place, you know. You go to New York, there's always a new high-rise. There's always something new and fancy, and people are moving so fast, you can't see anything, you can't enjoy anything. But, you know, especially places like Fort Worth, it's just like, you know, you got the old buildings, you still got some history, you got a little bit of new stuff kind of sprinkled in there, but it hasn't kind of sucked up the old, the history, the, I guess, the traditions that we are proud of in Texas that you don't find in other places. So,
well, it really is where the West begins. That's where you start seeing all the cowboy boots, all the Levi's, the casuals, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's not suits and ties when you start in Fort Worth and start going West.
Exactly. Yes. And that's it's a whole, how do you say, it's a whole lifestyle change?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess lifestyle
Absolutely.
Is the right word. But it's what makes us special. And so, you know, and when you have, you know, businesses like, you know, like Peter Brothers that you know, and others, but they still do things by hand. Yeah, you can't crank out 1,000 products a day. It is a little bit slower. It does take a long time, like you said, what, a year to create a custom hat, but still the quality is there. And there's a reason that they have been around for 110 years. And it's just like, you know, there's something to be said for that. And the fact that they can do that and stay in business and be, you know, to have that kind of recognition, to have, you know, a bunch of, you know, famous people and presidents and things like that have their products. It's a big deal. It goes a long way. It says a lot, really.
I think so.
That's a long way to say that.
I think so.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
With life settlements, there are some risks. There are two major risks. We should probably run over those real quick so that people know. What's the biggest risk?
The biggest risk is it could go over. You have to be prepared. You would have to pay premiums if it goes over. Hopefully, you already know what the premiums are. It's not going to scare you. So you know in advance. So even though it is a risk, the highest risk we've got, it's a manageable risk. Okay, it's not a high risk. So then the other risk is, remember, it is not liquid till it matures. So in the middle of the policy, you can't say, oh, I need some cash out of that. It doesn't work that way. You have to keep cash in your account, which we always recommend people to do. So that is the two risks. They're not bad risks, but we have to tell you about them.
And people do have to be accredited in order to do a life settlement. So what does that mean?
That means if you're accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that is without your home. So, and then the minimum investment is $100,000.
The accreditation, that's for a single investor. Does that change if, say, like a husband and wife want to do the investment together, or is it kind of the same?
They have to be worth more if it's a husband and wife.
Okay. All right.
Now, if you have separate deals, she would have to make $200,000 if she's doing a separate deal in order to do it. But jointly, they have to be worth $1 million.
Okay. I know we only have a few minutes left. We've talked a lot about life settlements. We kind of touched a little bit on annuities. Is there anything like annuities that we want to talk about, like those bonuses? Are those still happening?
The bonuses are still available. We should have mentioned those. You can get a 12% or a 20% bonus. It depends what your situation is. The 12% bonus is if it's a one-time deal. They'll give you 12% of whatever you put in this year, plus whatever it makes. Then every year the interest is locked in once a year, or you can do the two-year lock-in. But if you want the 20%, that's for someone who's going to put money in every year, and you'll get a bonus of 20% every year you put money in. That's for 7 years. It also has a deal where you get an extra 4% at the end of the term. Mm. When you start taking money out, they'll add 4% to that. Also, on the 20% deal, if you had to take money, all your money out at the end of 4 years, there's no penalty. You could walk away with the whole thing.
So annuities are basically right now profit on top of profit on top of profit.
I think so, because you're getting a bonus that you've never gotten before, a 12% bonus plus whatever you make. So if you just took the 5% or 4% fixed rate plus that's a lot of money.
This is more of an opinion question as opposed to like facts. But annuities have always been a very good, solid, conservative investment. They've always been really,
they're
really great.
They're the most conservative investment on earth.
They've kind of been I don't want to be careful how I say this, but they've kind of been maybe in the background a little bit. But these bonuses seem to have gotten more attention to them. Do you think that's the reason that these bonuses have come in, to kind of bring more life back into annuities?
I think it is. It's to bring attention to annuities, what annuities stand for, what they can do. You know, the company we use has been in business over 100 years, and that's a long time. They have a great track record. They're an A-plus company on every website. They pay their claims. They're huge. They are a Texas company. This company owns two life insurance companies.
Cool.
And they're from Dallas, Texas. So we know them. We know who they are. We know what they're worth. They're a good company to do business with. I like the way they do. We've had people that died that had annuities. They had a check like in 12 to 15 days.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, it was very fast. We just had to get the forms out to the beneficiaries, get them to sign it, everything in order, a copy of the death certificate, and they got their money right away.
Cool. So either way, whichever way people want to go, if they want to go the annuity route or the life settlement route, they're both very, very conservative. They're both high profits. It really just kind of depends where people are in their, their life, their journey, their investment career. You can sit down with them, help them plan it out, but they do have to come in, talk to you, make an appointment. I assume you have availability this coming week.
That's right. Okay. We're talking to people. We're doing things. We're opening accounts, and that's one thing about an annuity. You can write a check to the insurance company. It goes right to them. We can make a transfer to them, whatever we need to do. It's not as hard. They don't ask as many questions as they do in a life settlement because it is different. But remember, it's tax-deferred. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. It's compound interest, and it's not part. If somebody sues you, if your money's in annuity, they can't get it, by the way. Annuity is completely separate.
Cool.
So and you don't have to have this in your will. This can be separate because it's got its own beneficiaries.
And these are all fixed, okay? Too. These are fixed annuities.
Yes, they're fixed index annuities. They are not the kind you get at the stock brokerage house. They're not that type. They are a fixed index annuity, which is a lot different. It's not involved in the stock market. It does not have any mutual funds in it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, nice. You got to stay away from those.
Yeah. All right.
Because
so,
it can lose.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. It's the point is, for everything that you do with your investments and with clients, it's all about, you know, having conservative investments. It's all about, you know, making profit with minimal risk. And it looks like either way is great. So one last time for people to call, make an appointment, come in, get more information, get started, whatever they want to do. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.